Good afternoon, everybody. It's 12:35 or so, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the September 27th, 2007 general meeting of the Cambridge Community Services District. If all of you can join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, I would appreciate it. We do have a quorum, and Mr. Montandon, is there a report from closed session?
Nothing, so we could do it later if you want, at the time we vote on it.
I was going to ask that it be pulled. Maybe we're
okay.
Thinking the same thing.
Might be.
Okay. What's the item number?
6B.
Okay, that's easy. Anything else?
No.
I'd like to, before we begin with the acknowledgments, there'll be an acknowledgment and presentation. I'd like to invite Terry Farrell to the speaker stand. She would like to,
Jerry.
I'm sorry.
You notice I answered either one.
Okay.
Don't want to miss anything.
Go ahead and tell us what the news is.
Mr. President, board, staff, thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm here to invite you all and the community to our first countywide library summit. I've passed out some literature to you there. We hope to create a shared vision of what libraries need to become in the future because this world changes so fast with technology. We're calling it a Great Expectation event, and it's communities and libraries together. It'll be held at the Atascadero Pavilion November 3rd, from 9:30 to 2. It's free. A continental breakfast and box lunch will be served, which is why pre-registration is really important. You'll have an opportunity to learn about innovative library services being implemented around the county, visit exhibits, and just have a good day to learn and enjoy. Did I say free lunch? We're not asking you just to sit back and listen. We're asking you to participate. We want to develop priorities for countywide library services. We want you to join your county neighbors to provide constructive feedback to the libraries on current issues that are important to us as a community. We're optimistic about our future, and we feel you can begin to make a difference by attending the event. People who are passionate about libraries, who support books, reading, and libraries, that's what we want to see. Of course, that's probably most of our community, and I hope to see you all there. I'm sure all friends groups say the same thing about their library staff, but while I have the opportunity, I'd like to say a special thank you to Joan, our librarian, and her great staff, Robin, Destiny, Victoria. They're awesome, and we here in Cambria are very fortunate to have them. Don't forget, November 3rd at the Pavilion. The event's free. I'll have some
members of the board.
Before he starts, that these are staffers who've been here for quite some time. They go through some process, and we've been too busy, but we like to acknowledge the people that are working on behalf of the CCSD, so that's why Alan's doing it at this time.
These are the two newest members of the administrative team. This is Pamela Duffield, and she's the new assistant finance manager, and Suzanne Schneiderwind. I'm sorry, okay. The new administrative technician one, and they go by Pam and Susie.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And I'd like to turn the presentation to Wayne Perrico with Greg Sanders, who has a plaque for Mr. Perrick.
I understand that Wayne is here. Is that right?
Yes.
Wayne, and is Ann here with you?
Yes.
Please, both of you. Step up to the hot seat. Since it's difficult to use the mic up there, I'm going to read this from here, and then I'm going to come around and present it to you officially. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Before I begin, let me say that Wayne and Ann have been just stalwart citizens in this community for many years and have contributed in so many ways that haven't been recognized. They've been terrific confidants. They've helped the board move an agenda along that I think has resulted in, by and large, community acceptance. And we're really going to miss you. They are moving to Colorado soon, and so we wanted to take this opportunity to recognize all of the good things that they've done. Now, unfortunately, this proclamation speaks only to Wayne's good deeds, but keep in mind that every time I say Wayne Perrick in here, Ann has been right there, and we want to make sure that everybody knows the contribution you've made as well, Ann. This is a proclamation of the Cambria Community Services District honoring Wayne Perrick and Ann. Whereas the CCSD Board of Directors appointed the Build-Out Reduction Program Citizens Finance Committee January 26, 2006, and whereas Wayne Perrick served as chairperson of the Citizens Finance Committee, a broad cross-section of Cambria's natural resources and quality of life, and whereas as committee chair, he provided detailed and informative presentations to the public, including many local organizations, always seeking further community interaction and input. And whereas on April 27, 2006, the CCSD board accepted the Build-Out Reduction Program report, and on May 16th, a town hall meeting was held to present the accepted Build-Out Reduction Committee report to the community. And whereas Wayne joined the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Committee to be actively involved in the implementation of the Build-Out Reduction Program. Now, therefore, by virtue of the authority vested in me as president of the Board of Directors and on behalf of the entire board, district staff, and all Cambrians, on this day of September 27, 2007, I hereby present to Wayne Perrick this proclamation of public recognition, extending to him our deep appreciation for his distinguished service. And it's signed Elon Funky Ballou, President, Board of Directors, and attested to by Kathy Choate, District Clerk.
All right. Thank you very much, Greg. Thank you.
I'll just say a few words. Again, a big thank you to the committee members who worked so hard to put the report that you have in front of you together, along with the CCSD staff who worked very, very hard as well. And thank you to each board member for your support and encouragement throughout the process. Ann and I have really enjoyed our time in this community. We're going to come back often and visit. We joke amongst ourselves, but this is actually going to come true, that 6 months after we leave this community, you'll make significant progress in the Water Master Plan. And so with that, I'm sure you're anxious to see us leave. So thank you very much.
Before you leave, one thing I forgot to mention, and it's not mentioned in the proclamation, Wayne participated in over two dozen presentations.
Wayne, I've made several comments over the years, and it's always flattering and complimentary. You know that. And the reason why I'm going to say it again is because I think it will provide some guidance to our issues this afternoon. Because the point I want to make is that, you know, I remember previous hot issues in this community, and you were often on the one side, and other people were on the other side. And no matter how emotional the issues became, and they, like all issues, they all fizzle. It's a little bit like life. You know, they get hot. And they, you know, we know what we're talking about. You know? So, and for those people who just said, with a kind of, what I'm trying to get at is that Wayne was always a model opponent and adversary. He was firm. He was prepared. He was rational. He was polite. And it's so important to have disagreements, but it's equally important not to be disagreeable. And when Wayne talked, because of the way he presented his opposing views, they always carried weight. So I suggest, if you know, when we talk about this issue, I'm always going to have Wayne Perrick in my mind. And I hope that the community does too. What he's done to the community in terms of fostering debate rationally and as a community, I thank you and I will miss you.
Thank you, Alon. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne, ma'am.
Okay, can I say something?
Absolutely.
Of course.
All right, he may be the mediator. I'm the angry one. So I just hope that in that same feeling that the community will come forward and work together in your efforts with the Coastal Commission in the future. If a crowd like this came to back the CCSD at the Coastal Commission, it would make a world of difference. And that's what it's going to take, I think. It's either that or really drastic other actions. But as a community, water is our common denominator, and it should be a unanimous or close to it for this community goal.
Thank you.
Can I just say, give my thanks to Wayne, while you're walking back, I
have surpassed 2,072 days since we've enacted the water emergency pursuant to Water Code Section 350. We're now up to the Sheriff's Department report, but I understand that Deputy Steve has some other issues to attend to that require immediate priority. But he will be here later, and he does want to make a report. So I may interrupt the proceedings at some point to allow him to make his presentation, because obviously he needs to be called at times, and his time is a lot tighter than most of ours. Now, what I'm going to do is something a little different. I'm going to take the item number 8, which I believe most of the people here are concerned about, and I'm going to put this up next on the agenda. But before we do that, I want to just make a couple of points. This item is called Report on and Receive Community Input on Long-Term Financial Management Plan Regarding Proposed Adjustments to Water and Sewer Rates. I, for one, I can't speak for my colleagues, but I think they share my belief that each one of us is interested in hearing what each member of the community has to say about this important topic. So we would like to listen to each one. And again, be mindful of the Wayne Perrick guidance system. It's powerful, at least for me. We do want to hear what you say, and particularly why you take a certain position one way or the other. If you can give us some reasons, explanations, that would be highly appreciated. If you have questions, we've asked for this issue, if you can write them out, and what we'll do is we'll take each specific question, even if it's not written out, we'll make an attempt to have staff answer the question, or anyone on the board who feels that he or she wants to chime in. I want this to be a real nice, open debate. I don't want this to be kind of a yo-yo like the old days, like we currently see in Los Osos. I want this to be a model. We are going to make the right decision, and we are going to do it only after serious community input, and we're not going to rush it through. So this is why we're doing it now and in this fashion.
Mr. President?
I was always taught to respect my elders, and you are so eminently reasonable once again that I think that suggestion is well taken. I hear no opposition, wisely. Mr. Bodie, would you like to make the here to mention the report?
We can do that.
And while Carlos is loading that up, I just want to give a personal thanks to the Cambria Ambulance and Fire Department. I had a little accident on my motorcycle last month, and I got to see what it was like on the other side, something that was totally surreal to me. But what a bunch of neat guys and women that picked me up off the ground and took me away. But and I had a lot of neat neighbors in the neighborhood, too. So it's a pretty neat community we live in, and thank everybody that was there. There we go. This is a couple of some of the biggest bucks I've ever seen enjoying themselves in the San Simeon sun. And just a little lighter side here. This is Farashi, taken on the 24th. This is the lowest I've ever seen it at the fish ladder. Maybe you can go back to 74 and it would have been lower, but it's actually lower today. And that's right up by the high school, just to the east of the high school, northeast of the high school. This is Santa Rosa Creek. I don't normally shoot it from this position, but this is looking back towards the parking lot. And that little puddle to the right there is about all the water that there is in there, and that's just a hot, steaming pool of slime, pretty much. There's nothing living in it of any value. This is San Simeon Creek, and it's pretty far down as well. Here's the chart. The white diamonds are where we are. The bottom diamond is where it's at now, right around a little over 4 feet. And we're following right now about the year 2002. If we go along at 2002, we'll probably be all right. But as you can see, the other 2 years, they stretch out pretty far. And the red line, it goes all the way to March. That would be a very difficult situation to be in permanently. And especially without use of Santa Rosa. And that's one of the problems we're having right now is Santa Rosa turns Santa Rosa on. Because there's no game in there to kill. It's all gone. But if we can't turn Santa Rosa on for a number of reasons, we're going to be in dire straits, and we're going to have to probably come back next month with stricter rationing. So just to let you know. Hopefully we can use Santa Rosa. As you can see, Santa Rosa, the red line up there, is full at that point in time. The creek is running, and that was on the 17th. It's starting to drop now. And there's a lot of water in there. If you look at that, that's about 54 or 50 feet in elevation. So there's a lot of water down there to sea level. I just left the rainfall in there. The rainfall in there is just to show you that this is the lowest rainfall we've had since the CCSD's been keeping records. And that is why we have a limited water supply, more limited than we've had before. This is just a couple of shots inside the number two tank. This is the third coat of paint on the lid. They're on the outside now. And this is a view from the top. It's an awesome view from the top. And I got another one with Jim here, enjoying the view and the sun. This is my first time up here after coming back to work.
Quite a pose, Mr. Adams.
Yeah, it is a stoic pose, I think. Yes, kind of regal, captain-like. Anyway, Napoleon-like, maybe. Anyway, this is a biosolids project. Staff made a stand here for all the pipes going into the main electrical control panel, and they installed the sludge pumps for the sludge going into the mixed tank, and this is the one coming out of the digester, and this is another shot at it. This is the pipe manifold, and this is the second pump coming out of the RAS-WAS pits, and this is another item that happened. This is reservoir. This is off of San Simeon Creek. We run this reservoir. It's kind of like our fifth pond for percolation. Percolation in there is pretty low. It's about maybe 1 inch in 1 inch in 20 hours is the perk rate there, as opposed to the other pond, the other four ponds, which are about 20 inches in 24 hours along Van Gordon Creek, and the water poured through those little holes and into Van Gordon Creek, at which time Van Gordon Creek was completely dry, but all of a sudden it started running about 150 feet down the creek. So we asked the regional board for a take on that, and they wanted us to dewater the creek and the pond. And couldn't dewater the creek, but we could dewater the pond. But we actually dewatered both of them and took the reservoir down, and staff put in some piping to do that. Ordered it from Santa Maria, put the pumps in, and pumped it down and took care of that problem. Anyway, that's just the kind of things that jump in front of you when you least expect it. And that's it. But I'd just like to tell people to keep conserving, and that water is not just the CCSD's. CCSD is all of us, and it's our water. It's everybody's water, and you need to conserve it. It's got to be spread around for everybody. So please do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask a question of Brian, sure. But should we wait till Jim? Do you have the rest, more report?
Yeah, I'd like to elaborate on a few things in operations with okay. Santa Rosa.
Thank you.
And referring to the article Kathy wrote, which is short and sweet. I appreciate it. I want to expound on it a little bit. So the reaches of Santa Rosa Creek the riffles have been drying up and subsiding, and we regulate our pumping, like Brian said, to that action in the creek, and we're not the only people pumping out of the creek, obviously. There's other riparian users. When SR4 was relocated to the high school site, our permit was amended, and the Endangered Species Act is the strongest hold that we have to follow in the new amendment. And we've been doing that diligently and monitoring the flow 3 times a day upstream at the well site and below stream. And we start to see the riffles subside, we stop pumping. Well, what we've noticed lately is the fact that in our monitoring, it's subsiding even more with us not pumping. So, and knowing the urgency for water to the community and our gradient issues in San Simeon and other things, I've been in contact with Fish and Game. Fish and Game directed me to the federal agencies, NOAA Fisheries, because they oversee the steelhead and the red-legged frogs. I've been in conversation with them for this last week. Their understanding of the situation, but at this level they weren't able to give authorization on requesting a field meet and show them our documentation. We document everything about the creek. People have observed Santa Rosa Creek flowing, and that's why I wanted to make this a point and educate people that the stream flow is directly related to the aquifer that we pull water out of. And Kathy wrote it very simply in the paper. And we're bound by that. And we can't pump any more or any less if the creek is flowing. So it doesn't reflect on the surcharges. We are trying to follow all of our permit guidelines. We have issues with the lagoon, the Tidewater Gobi, elevation above sea level. We're watching that. And as stated in the paper, we're not looking for more water. We're just looking to get the fisheries regulations agreed upon so we can pump what's allotted with our permit. We're not going to exceed any acre feet in our permit as of now. You know, we're bound by that permit. So I just wanted everybody to know that. We're doing everything we can to utilize Santa Rosa to the best of our abilities and still protect the flows. So our approach, hopefully, when we meet with no enforcement, is the fact that they'll say us, what's our scope of responsibility in the creek? You know, is it 100 feet this way or 1,000 feet or what, or is it from our well to the ocean? We get some guidelines there, and then we can change our monitoring points and maintain flows further down the stream, and it'll at least get us through some hard times. So that's where we're at with that. Does that answer your question?
I have another one, but that's you certainly have demonstrated how complex managing a water system is, that there are a lot of factors weighing in on you.
It's frustrating, but the regulations are there for a reason. We all don't agree with them, but we have to do what's dictated to us. So,
thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Mr. President, I just was listening to Brian. It occurred to me you were talking about water supply for distribution, but when you brought the tanks up, it also refers to the other aspect, which is security and fire suppression. So maybe you could talk a little bit more, and maybe Bob too, is that with the completion of these tanks, we're going to be, what, about one-third of the way to our needed supply or our anticipated supply for water for fire suppression? Is that, am I right? Or you could talk about that a little bit.
The completion of these tanks will put us before the tanks were constructed, we were less than 1 million gallons. This will put us just shy of 2 million gallons, about 1.5, 1.6 million gallons.
We're working towards the Stewart tanks and another set, so that in terms of our list of things to do in order to get their optimum fire suppression, we still have a long way to go.
Right, yeah, the ultimate solution to our problem here, basically, to have a minimum level of water for fire protection is adequate storage. We can't produce the water fast enough, get it through the pipes to put it on a fire. That's an incomprehensible way to protect a community. That doesn't work. So you have to have it in the tanks so when there is an emergency, you can use it and put the fire out so it doesn't grow beyond your ability to control it.
Thank you. That clarifies it for me. I hope everybody else. Thank you.
I just had one question. I'm not sure if Brian or Art would answer that, but if we were to be found by the regulators on the water supply, on the creek, for example, that we were causing damage, what sort of fines would be imposed on something like that?
Well, we could be deemed to or found to have taken endangered species or threatened species and could be fined hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that's happened in other jurisdictions.
Yeah, thank you.
There was a discussion briefly about at what point is human safety in water override the act. So it is a thought that's crossed their minds, and that's part of the discussion that we're going to have with NOAA when this comes along. At what point are we going to degrade our well field in San Simeon on one hand and never be able to use it again, or a few fines, fees, you know, and a take? So hopefully they can give us a take permit for the future for these situations.
Ongoing task.
Thank you. Now, as promised, we have 9 speakers who wish to be heard on agenda item 8A. And in addition to those 9 speakers, make it 10 speakers. And you're welcome, you know, if any time during the process, just fill out one of these white or blue cards, and I'll be happy to hear from you. So in addition to those 10, there are also 3 folks who've prepared written questions, and I'll read those into the record, and we'll ask staff or someone to respond. First speaker, and remember the Wayne Parrott Guidance System. Kate Duffy, if you can please come up. I'd like to hear what you have to say.
A half a vote, and the property owner should have half a vote. And in reading the language of 218, it said that it's the property owner's right to vote, unless they lease it out to somebody, in which case it becomes the renter's right to vote. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Edgar Kinnarik, I hope I pronounced that correctly.
My name is Edgar Kinnarik, 1770 Astor. In simplifying all this, let's try to do that. It's not a question of water. It's a question of revenue for a bloated small-town community. Do not force businesses to leave the backbone of the community. Why do we need a new motel? Are things looking up for the rotter rates? Your budget is absolutely incomprehensible. I can show it to CPAs all over. Can't make heads or tail of it. Don't put the community through the hoops and loops and whatever it may be. You know it will be a matter of a compromise. You're going to have to come down and compromise with the community. So don't pit one force against another. be at least sensible on the whole issue. That's all. Thank you.
Frank D'Amica, did I say that right? D'Amico. At least there's one person who thinks you're great.
Well, I was actually, I put my name in because I was quite surprised with the number of people who showed up. That I thought there'd be 40 people ahead of me. Two things. One, I'd just like to open my comments in saying that you were very good to say that apparently we've had a connection ban for over 2,000 days?
2,072.
Okay. Mike, it's a question, but an observation. But I would not be too... I don't have much confidence to stand here today and say and try to bring issues to the board, to the districts, and say, well, it took them 2,000, where have we gotten so far? So, by bringing it up, I think it's very important, and I hope that the district themselves realizes there's got to be a little more action taken to get us out of this continual water crisis issue. What it may be needs to be discussed, and I know you've studied and you think that the desalinization plan is, and I believe that's the right way to go. Since you get running into the issues with the Coastal Commission and other things, you may have to look for alternatives because in my experience that where you are now, you're not going to see a plant online for at least 4.5 to 5 years, and I don't think we should be put through this issue of fines and relying on two wells for the service to 6,000 people. That's item number one. Number two goes a little bit towards Edgar's comments, is that I did go to the website. I said if I'm going to come here today, I really should try to get an understanding of where the financial assets and revenues and expenses of this organization is, and I personally could not find anything that would inform me that what the real numbers that we're looking for. In other words, what are the major capital expenditures you're looking at over the next 5 years? Why do we need to build this fund of additional monies, unless your operating costs have increased that much? Is this an operating cost issue? Is this a capital recovery issue, or is it another issue which I was blown away, and I don't know how many people looked at the website, but the lot building reduction, there was a PowerPoint presentation on your website, and I read the total is $39 million when the whole thing is fully financed, built out, all the properties are bought. These are staggering numbers, and yet, where do we go to get new water supply? I mean, we have two wells. Why aren't there more wells? We have two wells. We have no treatment plant. What is going to be done? I think you have to sit back and look and say, and answer the question, I guess, of your operating people and your engineer. What do we do at the next stage when the emergency does occur? Because I don't believe in the global warming issue. I have a discussion with Peter, but if the issue is things can only get worse at this point, definitive plan of how much is needed, what this is going to be raised, and where this money is going to go, I couldn't let you have any more of my money. Thank you.
Have they calmed down? Mr. D'Amico, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
How long have you lived in Cambria?
Full-time, 19 months. Mm-hmm. I've had the house for 5 years.
Thank you. That's all I need to know.
Sure. And it really doesn't matter. I could be here a month ago, and the issues are the issues you've had to face and the sit-towns had to face over 2,076 days where we come to this point.
Yes.
I wonder if we should explain just what we've been through to get where we are as far as the desal is concerned. It's a long, long story.
No. Look. Look. Hey. I promise you, this meeting is going to be called. I don't even want this to start. Wayne was here, and he was a symbol of the way to do it right. This is not some, you know, some barn. Listen, I'm going to call it off, and, you know, it doesn't make any sense. We can, everybody can speak. We want to listen to what everybody has to say. I've promised we're going to respond to everybody. We don't run this meeting like who's the loudest, because I promise you there's no one here who's as loud as me. I promise you. Okay? And it's not about who's bigger and who can scream the loudest in the barn. That's not the way we do democracy in this building. We've never have, and when it's devolved to that, it's become a mess and nothing gets accomplished and we're less of a community. I'm asking you nicely, let's listen to what everybody has to say, be polite. If you want to applaud, that's fine. A little applaud is fine, but we don't have to start doing like the tomato cat calls and all this kind of stuff. That's not what this town is about. Please, I'm asking you nicely. Now, no. Just be, fill out a card. I'll be happy to listen to you. Now, what did you say, Mr.
Chairman? I just wondered if we should give a rough calendar of how long we've been working on the diesel and the milestones involved.
Well, we will do that, but what I said, Mr. Chaldecott, was we're going to listen to every speaker.
Yeah.
I'm taking down the...
Hello, I'm Mary Ann Carson, the Executive Director of the Chamber of Commerce of Cambria. And the Cambria Chamber of Commerce, which represents about 400 business members, has taken the position that the proposed rate increases that were in the September 10th notice are basically bad for business and for the economy of the general area. With the proposed plan, some businesses are looking at paying 2 to 4 times the rate that they're currently paying for water, and some of these businesses will be forced to close. The business community does understand the need for water for rate increases, but it feels that these particular proposed rates are unreasonable. In order to facilitate a protest of over 50% of the ratepayers, the chamber has distributed sample letters of protest with the appropriate information on them. These are available at the chamber and also on the chamber website. If you negatively impact the tourist industry by instituting these proposed rate increases, you will, in fact, simply lose business and resident ratepayers. So the Chamber of Commerce would like the board to reconsider your proposed rate increases and make them more reasonable for larger businesses, particularly, including lodging and restaurants. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Charlotte Darshori. And if I mispronounce your name, if you can correct me when you get up there, I would appreciate it.
Did a very good job. It's a hard name.
Thank you.
My name is Charlotte Darshori, and I, along with my husband, were wondering. We got copies of the 6/30/07 statement of expenditures and revenues, and I guess there are two of them. One of basic business. Cost and revenue, and then one for governmental revenues. So our one question was, do you add all these figures together to get what the total revenues are? And then same thing with the expenditures. And in looking at the website to see what the mission of the district can creep from what a traditional water district would do to, I noticed like the sea, there are, what do you, where you have the music by the sea, and seemed like there were quite a few other things in there. So basically, my question was, do I add all these figures together on the two statements to come up with what your revenue is and your expenditures? And then secondly, what percentage of the funds are spent on these other services that maybe need to be reexamined at this time, given that we need to put most of the money into procuring a water source for the district.
Thank you, ma'am. Michael Stoddard.
Michael Stoddard, 1158 Pinewood. Family of five, myself, my wife, two children, and a mother-in-law.
My condolences.
We understand that our current water situation is. We do what we can to save water, but we don't believe that this rate increase has anything to do with the current water shortage. I've submitted a written protest objecting to the proposed rate increases in their entirety, and this includes the build-out reduction plan. And this is my verbal protest saying the same. My family and I find the rate increase proposals as discriminating to hardworking families, and in addition, we feel your overall rate structure is discriminating. And this process may be lacking the time for community to respond because most people I've spoken with don't know the details. One item I wanted to quote here from the American Water Works Association. They had a discussion on tiered rate structures, and it supports our belief of why the current rate structure and what you're proposing discriminates against families. Basically, they say the increasing block or tiered rate structure can potentially be punitive to large customers, charging them a higher rate unit simply because they are large water users. These customers may, in fact, be very efficient water users, and that.
Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members of the board. I think Proposition 218 is a great example of how direct democracy holds representative democracy to account. I recall that Thomas Jefferson thought we might need a violent revolution every so often just to keep democracy going in this country. And leave it to Californians, though, to pass a proposition saying we need no violence, we just need something like Prop 218. Of course, many of us had not a clue what Prop 218 was about, but we do now. Holding to account in Prop 218 means having the constitutional right in California to reject an increase in utility rates that are proposed by elected officials. Now, every ratepayer in this room and everywhere else in Cambria will vote, even if she or he does nothing. If a ratepayer does not send a letter opposing the rates or does not speak in opposition next October, because today doesn't really count, she or he is in effect casting a vote to support the rate increases and the new classification of customers. So, inaction is definitely an action in Prop 218 on this matter. You cannot not choose and act. Now, I have several issues with the draft of the development of a long-term financial management plan for water and wastewater utilities, which I will simply call, in my comments, the draft. I attended the workshop on June 13th, and I wrote to all the board members and the honorable general manager of CCSD, and I said then that I wrote on July 2nd, I said then that even before considering the rate increases to obtain increased revenue, major programs entailed in the long-term plan must be adequately described in writing and later then considered in a public hearing. I have read the draft, by the way, on the website, and it's no small task, and I would need to read descriptions of these projects. The hearing then should take place only after we have been able to read the draft of the whole plan. I regret that 3 months later, for example, into which class do vacation rentals fall? Comparing table W12 on page 18 of the draft, estimated units of service, With Table W14 on page 20 of the draft, cost of service allocated to customer class, I conclude that vacation rentals fall within the commercial class. Why? Why are vacation rentals not included in the lodging or the so-called bed, breakfast, motel class, since they function in the same way? My second point on customer classification. Sometimes multifamily residential units are listed as a distinct residential class, and sometimes they're not. What criteria have governed this in the draft? Why do we sometimes allocate according to multifamily and other times only single, but not consistently? In the draft, I find no customer class covering nonprofit organizations such as churches, nor public institutions such as schools, government offices, and state parks. All of the customers should be classified and disclosed, every single one of us. The cost of serving them, the rates they are now charged, and the proposed increases of those rates should be made public in this draft. And finally, in the draft on customer classes, they are expanded only for the water rates and not for the sewer rates. Why do we need more classes for water and fewer classes for sewer? I suspect, if I can read the English in this draft, in this section, that it's because we can't measure what is called in the draft, I love the phrase, waste mass. I tell you, the second graders with whom I volunteer would put it much more clearly. If the measurement of waste mass
Ms.
is
Bettenhausen,
the issue...
Mm-hmm. How much more do you have to go?
Pardon?
How much more do you have to go?
I have two more pages, a double space, large font.
I've already given you about two more minutes than I...
I'd be happy to take his time if he's willing to offer it
to
me.
Go ahead.
If the in the draft, the customer classes are expanded only for waste, I assume that's only for water and not for waste mass. Can a fair commodity rate be developed without investing in literal measurement devices somehow, if that's the problem? My second major and only other point is expenditures. Paying for utility service makes sense. Providing water and removing sewage are not simple processes today. I am grateful to Brian Bode for a spectacularly good educational tour of the waste facilities of this town. And the process now has much more complexity than it did when I programs that have not yet been adopted. For example, in the proposed capital outlay for wastewater treatment, what is the meaning on page 231, if you're looking at the draft, what is the meaning of, quote, Title 22 recycled water facilities? And where can the voters find a description of it? Or another example, on page 31, the RW pipeline WWTP to the future elementary school. Are we getting another one? I would like some clarification of what these projects are. So, in other words, I will conclude, sir. We need to determine what a fair and adequate water plan and wastewater service plan is for Cambria. Adequacy here needs a public discussion. What's adequate? And if we can get something that's better than adequate, are we willing to pay for it? I would say that such a general discussion must take place by the public. I love how many people are here today, unlike usual CCSD meetings. But the data in the draft do not bear with them explanations of the proposed expenses. And I cannot support projects and programs costing millions of dollars, but inadequately described. Finally, if you need somebody to assist in counting the messages and votes that you get on Prop 218, I, as a member of the democracy, would be happy to volunteer my time to assist CCSD in the counting. Thank you.
Steve Niffen.
My name's Steve Niffen, and I bring 20 years of baggage to this problem. Just trying to be, well, first of all, these people are not the devil. As much as some of my friends want to say they're the devil, they're not the devil. They're trying to do the right thing, whatever that may be. So even though my wife thinks you guys are the devil, and if she was here talking now, about buying sweatshirts and not buying lunches because of this number, it would affect you differently than me getting up here and pontificating about what I'm going to say. So that's one thing. Being solution-based right now, the only thing I could recommend is a citizens committee to look at this issue like you did with build-out reduction so that you guys got some coverage. This isn't my idea. This was somebody else's idea. I'm just using it. But if...
Greetings.
Hello.
My name's Kim Eady. I own the Cambria Shores. As an employer of this community, I have 12 people I'm responsible for, 12 families. They work hard, and I really believe that the amount of increase you're doing, as great of an idea it is, I know you need money, you're going to really affect the workers in this community. It's not just... You know, the businesses that you guys think are making billions and billions of dollars that can afford all this, it's the common people. It's the backbone of this community that you're going to just tear out. We're going to lose employees, and it's going to trickle all the way down. As far as raising the cost of my water bill, you know, what am I going to do? I got to go cut expenses. Where am I going to cut expenses? It's hard to run a business in this community. We, as you probably have seen, our new remodel, we ripped out all of our grass. We put in succulents. We put in cactus. We're doing everything we can to conserve water. You got the purple pipe right out in front of the hotel. You guys could be hooking that up and at least give the... You know, you got the pipe in the ground, at least hook it up so that the hotels can be using it. And I know it needs to go on, through the rest of the town so that everyone can be using it, but, you know, there's one way right there of saving. I believe you should be fair. I think the way that you've structured this increase, I think it's wrong. I think you should reconsider and have a citizens committee... and get everyone involved and let's see if we can renegotiate what you've proposed for so you can save your community. I know you want to do the best you can, and that's why you've all put so much time and effort into being board members. My aunt owned this hotel back in the early 70s, so if you want to ask me how long I've been here, when I was in high school, some 30-odd years ago. It's been my dream to be here, and I've been here since 96.
Does your first name have two N's?
Yes, it does.
That's great.
Yeah. My name is Karen McKinnon. Normally you see my husband here, John, but he is out of town. So I am one of the owners of the Moonstone Beach Bar and Grill. And I'm here to speak on behalf of many ratepayers, both commercial and residential. We have many issues with your water and wastewater long-term financial management plan that you recently voted to move forward with. Throughout the plan, you use key statements, fairness, equity, minimum customer impact, customer understanding, and acceptance. All of these statements are made, but as we see it, have not come close to being accomplished in your plan. Your plan states it used the American Water Works Association manual to set up the tiered rate plan you're proposing. It also states that this manual is very important so that your plan will be accepted by the Public Utilities Commission and the courts. Go to their website. There you will find information that is very contrary to what you're proposing to this community. I will have an article for you to read. I made copies of it. Basically, what it states is that the purpose of setting up a tiered rate system is to induce water conservation. It is not intended to punish a large water user if he or she is using water efficiently. The article goes on to state that it is important to set individual usage profiles for the large water user and not to punish the water user where there is no discretion in their usage. Heavy water users are not necessarily water abusers. The large water user has every right to the water they use as long as they are not wasting it. Many of the large water users in this town have been here long before the CCSD was formed. But regardless of being a new or old customer, large water users are all we all paid handsomely for the rights to that water that we use. You as a board recognized this when you formed your surcharge rates. So listen to your own words and make your tiers fair and equitable. Take my restaurant, for example. We have low-flow toilets. We don't serve water to our customers. We barely have any landscape to speak of. Yet our bill, under your new rate system, will increase 400%, and we are not using any discretionary water. The tiers you set up will not change my water usage hike. We estimated that between the Moonstone Beach Bar and Grill, the Cambria Pines Lodge, the Fog Catcher, the Bluebird, and the Cambria Landing Inn, you're going to collect close to almost $1 million annually in revenue. All of this just from five businesses in town. Based on your charts, you claim that your revenues will go up $1,500,000 in the first year from all the ratepayers. I just don't see how these numbers add up. Your shortfall is only $150,000 annually, as Greg Sanders told everyone at the Chamber of Commerce meeting at the Mid-State Bank. Where is the equity, fairness, and minimum customer impact you state in your plan? You claim you need to raise the rates drastically for capital improvements. Two of your entries under capital improvements are for the desal plant that was denied. Why is the desal project included in this rate increase? Many business owners, as well as homeowners in this town, which we have talked to, would like to see capital improvements limited. They would also like to see the CCSD merely take care of water and stop expanding your responsibilities. To be more specific, whether lots are buildable or not, we feel shouldn't be a county issue and problem. You as a board already have the power to stop houses from being built. Why do we as ratepayers have to buy up lots? We understand that you had a handpicked committee study this issue and present their program, which you decided to move forward with. But we feel the majority of the people in the town are not on board with this, and this issue should be readdressed. Under Prop 218, it states that any rate increases should have a direct benefit to the ratepayer. The businesses who are going to carry the greatest burden under your new plan receive no benefit from that build-out reduction program. We understand that we have problems in this town, and we would very much like to be a part of your solution. Let's stop the major overhaul that you're proposing at this time and approach it in a more step-by-step method, starting with a small increase in rates to make up for the shortfall we are now experiencing. The increase should be shared equally by all water users and punish only the water abusers. We know the old EDU system is very much broken, and we invite your new tier system. But that system must recognize and must understand the large water user and only punish the water abuser as clearly.
Thank you and good day to everyone. I'm Nadine Howard, and I think it's irrelevant how long I've lived here, but it's quite a long time.
I don't think I asked you, did I?
No, you did not, and I don't know why you ask anybody. I would remind you of your lecture that you gave us.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Apparently, you need to turn around and remind some of the other folks as well. I apologize. I don't hear them. Apologize. But go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to know how many employees the CCSD has and what the average salary is. I'd like to know what the salary of Tammy Reddick is. And I don't know why you do not publish an expense and revenue report. And I don't know why we're raising rates opposed to trying to decrease expenses. That's mainly what I would like to know. I've served many, many years on another water board. I was not paid for that, nor were any other people. And we served our community quite well.
Thank you.
We'll answer those questions, and we're going to answer each and every one of them. So, Ruth Cairns Baker. I love hyphenated names.
I'm sorry?
I love hyphenated names, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I'm impressed with the knowledge and understanding that this community has expressed, and I'm not that knowledgeable, but as a resident, I do have feelings about this rate increase. So it is the extent of the increases which has us all alarmed and troubled, and I urgently feel that in all fairness, it needs to be reexamined and adjusted. Yes, I still would have chosen to live in Cambria knowing that water costs might increase considerably due to the shortage of water requiring building restrictions, which in turn would prevent overbuilding and congestion, thereby enabling us to retain our quality of semi-rural lifestyle, but increasing the burden of water costs per resident. The need for long overdue, close to 20 years now, I would express appreciation and acknowledge the CCSD's board long, difficult work that has gone into this difficult, complex project. However, I request that the board, elected on trust, provide simplified clarification of cost estimates, how these particular contractors and providers were selected, and how these assignments and cost estimates were arrived at, such as contract estimates by competitive bidding or what. Again, it is the extent of the increase that has us all alarmed and troubled, and I feel it needs to be reexamined and adjusted. Above all, could the board consider finding ways for working out a percentage reduction of the increased rates through adjustments and contractors' proposals on all cost projections given by all providers as well as the board's staff, thus hopefully earning the appreciation and cooperation of the community who may be better able to respond by being heard, respected, and better informed in the spirit which brought us here together in the first place. And could this be achieved not by confrontive means and absolute mindsets, but by negotiation, reasonable compromise, understanding and cooperation, making this a win-win for all? As Forrest Gump might have said at this point, that's all I have to say about that.
Thank you, Ms. Kearns Baker. Art Jessup.
Art Jessup, 1080 Warren Road, and I bought my property with my wife's help in 1981. We've been living here full-time, 96, if that makes any difference. Most of what I have wanted to say has been said, so I won't repeat it. There's a few things that have not been. I think there has been misuse of funds in the past. This is the community service, and I guess the best way for me to try to explain what I'm trying to say is to think of the economy of our United States today that is having trouble because a lot of people bought houses with the idea of not paying any interest on it until they came up to a certain point. Now all of a sudden the economy goes down and they have to sell their house or try to sell their house. I feel like some of the mistakes we've made in the past, you're wanting for us to pay all at once now when it should have been, maybe we should have been paying more all the way along. And I think you got to reevaluate your position on the great increase in prices now that there's a lot of people that can't afford it. They should have been paying all the way along, like the economy of our nation. Also, why do I want to buy somebody else's property? How is that going to solve the water problem? Sure, they're not going to be able to build, but in theory, they can't build now until we solve the water problem.
Thank you. Mr. Ryburn, Wayne Ryburn.
Good afternoon. My name is Wayne Ryburn. I moved to Cambria in 1981, and I've been through the roller coaster since that time with wet winter, dry winter, drought, no drought, come to this old board in the 80s and 90s, and they'd say, gee, we don't have any water, and our resources are terrible. We're going to build anyway. County said, we agree, issue building permits, move on. Come back year after year after year, you hear the same scenario. And then people got wise and said, gee, we're conserving water. We're taking buckets out of the shower, buckets out of the sink, so tourists can come here and take half-hour showers when they're here, so the builders can come in and put in projects like motels on Moonstone Beach, so people can build mega mansions or mansions, whatever you want to call them. And people got tired of it, and the solution became a desal plant. And then people realized a desal plant is growth-inducing. You're just going to compound your problem. The more water you have, the more people are going to come here, the more issue with water supply you have. Thank you, Carlos. I think they need to be reordered, and I think there needs to be a lot of clarity. And the biggest thing that I always go back to is people look at their pocketbook, rightly so, and when you say, we need water, you're not telling the people what it costs to deliver water. And I don't mean look at EDUs or units of water or acre feet of water or the size of the meter flow and all that. But can you come up with something that would tell people what's it cost, a direct cost to produce a gallon of water? We know what a gallon of gasoline costs or a bottle of water that we buy at the store costs, but what is the direct cost for producing water for us? Not all these other projects that the one lady mentioned before that maybe aren't necessary. The other solution I have here, a proposal for you, is leave the current water rate schedule, which is a conservation schedule, in place until we have rain. You found, admittedly, that the only thing that gets people to conserve water in this community is money. And as soon as you take that conservation rate off, the consumption rate goes back up. So leave it on. If it rains this winter, we have a nice wet winter, wonderful. If not, leave it on through next summer. Please do not gut the build-out reduction program. I was on the desal advisory committee way back in the 90s when you decided that's the way you wanted to go. I was on the finance committee for the build-out reduction program. And we quickly found out that the build-out reduction program is the heart of the water master plan when you have a desal plant, because it's the only thing that mitigates growth. If you don't conserve your resources and have some lot retirement program, you're back in that same issue, people pushing you all the time. As soon as you get a desal plant, we're going to grow again. We're going to put more commercial. We're going to put more residential in. So I would hope you would not get into that. And then finally, when you look at your schedule for lodging establishments, as you call it here, I hope that you'll look at vacation rentals, because these things have been a problem. Very important that you look at it that way. And thank you for listening to me. Thank you for your work. And thank you for letting all these people behind me say what they wanted to say. Thank you.
We have no more speakers, but we do have some questions, and I'd like to
recite them for the record and have someone answer these questions as well.
Speak up.
I'm sorry. This is from Amanda Rice. I oppose the proposed rate increase because it includes funding for the build-out reduction program and the proposed desal plant. I do not support the CCSD adopted BRP and find it extremely unlikely a desalination plant will ever jump through all the required hoops and ever be built. I would reluctantly support a rate hike based on the analysis of costs, but not incorporating funding of the desal or the BRP. Bob Bloom asks, what percentage of sewer and water fees go into the general account? Then he would like to know what funds the general fund. Barbara Roche asks, why can I not get a copy of the 2007-2008 budget? Two, how are, quote, allocated overhead, end of quote, expenses allocated to each cost center, i.e., what is the formula for allocation? Tim Roche says, why not reduce the increase by capitalizing and stretching out over longer term? Okay. Now, let me ask Tammy. Maybe the best way to answer the questions, well, look, it's 2 o'clock, been going since about 12:30, so maybe we can talk about the most efficient way of answering the questions and then having people respond if they feel they want to respond. So why don't we come back in about 10 minutes, we'll have a brief recess.